This is encouraging obesity in animals. This is a serious matter, Mr. Peter Wellington. Like when Mario puts on that tanuki skin, thereby encouraging the wearing of fur. You'll have Peter all over you in a second.
I've got Peter all over me already.
Whee! Happy birthday.
God, 28 years I've been on this rock.
That's the best pun you could come up with.
That's, yeah. That's where I'm at.
To be fair, that was a softball I set you up there. But,
Yeah.
you know, you're welcome. And welcome to the Pocket Gamer Podcast. I'm your host, James Gilmore. It's episode number 245, and joining me, we have Peter Wellington.
Hi.
And Keith Andrew.
Hello.
You get the lower register in my voice there, because as I understand it, you're feeling a bit poorly and croaky.
Oh, I thought it was because I'm quite manly.
Oh, yeah. No.
And that's true as well.
Is it? Oh, yes, in that case. Yeah, that's totally what I meant there. Yes. Sorry, you're feeling a little bit ill, aren't you?
Well, no more than usual, but I do have a bad throat and a bit of a sniffy nose.
Keith, why do you keep getting ill? Is it because you lick strangers?
Is it because you're just licking the wrong strangers?
Yeah.
I think I'm licking the wrong part of strangers. I don't know.
What do you mean?
How do you do it?
Oh, what do you mean? What do you mean? I don't lick strangers. I was lulling you in by using comedy into admitting the fact that you lick strangers on the mouth.
No, I think I need to lick them on the mouth. I think that's probably where I'm going wrong.
Oh, right.
I need to stop doing it in doctor's surgeries as well.
That's the worst place to be exposing your tongue, I'll be honest. Unless it's at the doctor when he does that thing where he puts a wooden stick on your tongue and makes you say, ah.
Here's the thing about the doctor's surgeries that I've never understood. I don't know. I think this might be a line from like a stand-up comedian's kind of a thing. But why do they put all the sick people in exactly the same room?
Well, you got to keep them away from the healthy people, Keith. Keith? Peter?
Okay. Well, James. I think... But you're already ill, right? Like, yeah. So you're susceptible to illness at that point. Your body's feeling weak.
In for a penny, in for a pound.
Oh, right, okay. Is that how doctors do it?
Once you've got one, you might as well get rid of them all.
You've got a slight rash on your foot, so you might as well get syphilis.
Okay, right.
And then they secretly bash you over the head with a chair outside, so you don't cause any inconvenience to anyone else.
What doctors do you go to? Well, clearly you don't.
Otherwise, we wouldn't be talking now.
No. Exactly.
Or licking infected people. Well, this is all very grim and disgusting. However, we've got some more cheerful, chirpy news from the other side of this Pocket Gamer three-way. Oh, damn, I couldn't find any other way of saying it. It's Peter's birthday, guys!
Oh, it is, isn't it?
Hey!
Yay.
I was going to sing happy birthday there, but then I remembered it was prohibitively expensive to sing that song on a broadcasting medium.
What about the Stevie Wonder one?
I don't know. Now, again, it's still a sort of published song, so
why don't you make up your own tune?
Okay. It's Peter's birthday. It's your birthday today.
Yeah.
Actually, I own that song.
Damn! See, I can whole win. Can never win. Happy birthday, Peter.
Oh, thanks.
He's not a big fan of birthdays. He was telling me earlier.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, I'm not a fan.
I wish you told me before. I wouldn't have bothered.
No, that's fine.
That's a lie. I would have made an even bigger deal.
Yeah, exactly. No, I thought as much. Yeah, no, I'm not a fan. I love Christmas, though. Christmas is my favourite.
That's Jesus' birthday.
That's Jesus' birthday, and I love him.
You do sort of love birthdays.
Yeah, exactly. Just only like, one birthday is important.
Did you get what you wished for? Did you get that pony?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know where I'm going to keep it, obviously, because I live in a flat, and I've got no stables.
If it's a fairly small pony, then I understand they can be house trained.
It's not a small. It's not. It's not. It's a Shetland.
Oh.
I mean, I appreciate the gift, seriously, but I don't know if they were really thinking about it when they bought it for me. Do you know what I mean?
They?
It's like it was. It was John. John bought me a Shetland pony.
Ooh.
Never buys me anything. That's
I know. I bet he's getting cards.
I know. I didn't want to say anything, but it's come up now.
I get books from John because he thinks I should read.
No,
being,
I don't.
Being an editor, he thinks I should read.
Oh, not because you actually do read, because he believes that it would be a good idea.
He thinks I should give it a go.
Try it. You might like it. You never know.
No.
Reading.
No. I've read some of my own stuff. It's awful.
Yeah. Well, with between your illness and your lackadaisical approach to birthday celebrations, we're off to a bit of a downer. However, not to worry. We've got news of exciting new games that are coming over next month on Vita, on 3DS, and, of course, on iOS. Also, I've been playing the new Ron Gilbert game, and I've got some opinions about it. But first of all, some updates. Good news, Keith! Something to cheer you up in amongst your croaking and wheezing and inappropriate licking. Kingdom Rush, the very first Kingdom Rush game, has just been updated with a whole new campaign. It's a sharp intake of breath. It's called the Burning Torment Campaign, and you get a whole bunch of things. Two new stages in which you can fight, called the Rift of Cinders and the Portal to Pandemonium. Also, you get five new enemy types, including a flame-belching Flareon. Flareon? Okay. And the Cerberus, whatever that is. There's also a boss fight against Moloch and a couple of new heroes thrown in as well. So you can actually download that right now, both on iOS and Android, for free.
Android?
Yeah, I know.
Time was, you would have been whipped for mentioning Android on this podcast.
I know. Well, times have changed. We've moved on. This is a progressive podcast. We embrace all sorts of new crazy ideas here. Also, if you're a Warhammer Quest player, then you can buy a whole bunch of new stuff for the game. You can get new campaigns, just like the Kingdom Rush 2 one, only it's going to cost you a bit more. It's called the Brutal Tribe Expansion Set. Costs £2.99 or $4.99, and gives you a new campaign set in the land of Avaland, in which you can fight new orcs, trolls, other things. Grab some new characters as well if you want. They'll cost £1.99 or £2.99 a piece. You can choose between a bright wizard, a shadow warrior, and an ogre iron gut. So you can flesh out your campaign, but it is going to cost you dollars. But if you happen to have Kingdom Rush, you can just get it all for free. Speaking of free-to-play things, Plants vs. Zombies 2, which has been kicking around on iOS for a good while now, has just soft launched on Android. Only in Australia and New Zealand, though, which is sort of good news if you happen to live there, so you can Android fans can have a go at it now. But it's good news for the rest of the Android community, because it means not long until it goes worldwide. So usually a soft launch kind of a couple of weeks before it goes global, isn't it? It does vary, but expect to see that turning up on our... I would say definitely before the year is out, you're going to get Plants vs. Zombies 2 on your Android devices. So something to look forward to then.
Interesting timing, that, isn't it?
What? Yes, isn't it?
The pre-Christmas or the...
No,
the EA...
Oh, last week's snafu.
Yeah, and then them going, oh, here's the Android version.
Yes, in case you weren't listening last week, we talked about the fact that there were rumours that Apple paid EA a big bundle of money, or I think the quote was something like truckloads of cash or something.
Truckload of money.
To keep Plants vs. Zombies 2 as an iOS exclusive for a while. And PopCap and EA went, no. And then went, oh, look, here's the Android version. Hey, there we go. Just everybody shut up about that, please. So whatever the reason, it's good news for Android people, so fill your soily boots. As everybody knows, I love the Modern Combat series. Oh, wait, that other thing. What's that other thing? Not love. Complete indifference. I'm completely indifferent to the Modern Combat series, which is why I was crestfallen to learn that Modern Combat 5, which we were anticipating to appear at some point before the end of this year, isn't going to be coming out till 2014.
I'm upset.
I can tell. I think your response is equally apathetic as mine, by the sounds of it. People have been a bit disappointed. I saw some people go, aww, on Twitter, because Gameloft tweeted about it. And people went, oh, that's a shame.
Who's getting excited about any new modern military shooting game? Like,
everybody. Battlefield 4's been filling up the Twitter feeds this week about which version's better.
Who are these people?
They're most of the people. That's who they are.
Are they, though?
Yeah, well, not me necessarily, perhaps not you, but, like, yeah, most men aged between 18 to 25
gamer bros.
Yes, with fist bumps and gunishment.
Do you know what? I'll be honest with you. I think Battlefield is the series that I would play if I was into that sort of thing, which is why I can't wait for the Star Wars Battlefield, because I don't want to shoot real human beings. I want to fire lasers and stuff from an AT-AT.
Game that's been announced, or is this a game that you announced in your head?
I think it's happening.
Yeah?
I seem to remember it happening. Star Wars Battlefield, is it happening? Yeah.
Okay. Battlefront.
Battlefront? That's a whole different thing.
Is it?
I didn't know EA were doing a spin-off, a Star Wars version of Battlefield.
I thought, yeah. Oh, is that
right? No. Battlefront.
It's by DICE, isn't it? Yeah. Battlefront.
Yeah, well...
It's been described as Battlefield Star Wars.
Oh, well, that's all right then. If you're going to go for one of those games, you go for something that's cloning Call of Duty pretty directly. So you go for your Battlefield and maybe offering something a bit different. So, you know, you go for your Battlefield and you maybe go for Medal of Honor or whatever.
Medal of Honor, Warfighter.
Warface. Who's getting excited about modern combat?
Loads of people. We're going to get actual hate tweets off of this.
Bring it.
Bring it. Bring the flame.
Bring it on.
It's totally popular.
It's a totally popular game, and it's a totally fine game. But, like, it's one of those games that you go, yeah, all right, I'll play that. It's not I can't wait. Oh, I would knife my own granny to play that.
Knife their own granny.
That's actually one of the missions.
Exactly. Press A to knife own gran. Yeah, well, they're going to have to keep on knifing their elderly relatives. Knifing elderly relatives, not endorsed by the Pocket Gamer podcast. Because they're going to have to wait until 2014. They haven't specified exactly when, but cross it off your Christmas wish list.
2014 sounds like it's in the future.
It is in the future, Pete.
We really in the future.
Marty McFly hoverboard in the future.
Hoverboard future.
So,
yeah.
Have they added? Yeah, well, exactly. If it's in the future, are they completely redoing it so that you can fly about on hoverboards and shoot? Because obviously that'll be modern combat by that point.
It's in the future, and it has the word modern in its name. So really,
you can't have it both ways, can you? It should be called future combat until it comes out, at which point, for 1 second, it's allowed to be called modern combat, and then as soon as it's passed, it should be called history combat. Classic combat. Classic combat 5.
They could call it future soldier. Oh no, that would be ripping off Ghost Recon, and we wouldn't want to rip off a console franchise, would we?
Don't get me wrong. Do get excited. Get excited for it. Be like, oh, brilliant, I'm looking forward to that. I can't wait until that comes out. That'd be really enjoyable. But don't be like, oh no, it's not coming out. Get excited about actual games with intelligence and creativity and passion in them, rather than just another take on another shooter.
Was that the PlayStation version of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? That was quite clever.
That was good, wasn't it? What was that?
It was a good Weakest Link once as well. I enjoyed
that. Oh, was that Weakest?
That was very special. Weird. Actually, speaking of intelligent and interesting new games for iOS.
Yeah, go on.
Seamless Link there, beautifully done. Yep. There was Eurogamer last weekend, wasn't there?
Yes, there was.
There was. There was one of them Eurogamers. If you are in the UK, you might know what it is, or Europe. If you're in the US, perhaps not so much. It's just another one of them game convention thingies. Traditionally, it's been much more console-oriented and PC stuff, but much more recently, mobile games have started to creep in and make their mark. So we sent Peter, actually, over, didn't we?
Yes. I was sort of joined by Harry and Mark as well. They both
Of course you did. Yeah. There was a whole crew. There was a Pocket Gamer.
we rolled pretty deep.
Good for you guys. And you saw a whole bunch of games, many of which were actually quite cool. Speaking with sticking with interesting, intelligent, quirky ones, I'm speaking about a couple of hands-on that we got before you explained some stuff too, Peter. Monument Valley is a game that Mark saw, and he's written up a great big preview, and it's gotten a good deal of traction because it looks right good, it does. It's done by the guys who've done Whale Trail, isn't it?
Oh.
Yeah, it's two.
This is the studio that famously makes very good-looking games that are very little substance.
Yes. Well, they've only made, one or two games, haven't they?
Yeah, because they're work-for-hire studios, as far as I know, the UI design. But, Monument Valley looks like it's it's got the actual goods to back up the design, if you know what I mean.
Well, if you look at the link that's in the podcast story, you can actually get some eyes on with some pictures, which is a good idea because it is very visually interesting. In fact, if you're in any way familiar with the artist Escher, which you should be if you are visited a student hall at any time in your life and seen one of the many obligatory posters that's on the wall. Exactly. It's the one with all the stairs, going off at different angles and that, and it's like an impossible room, which looks like, oh, it couldn't possibly physically work. It's kind of levels based around that concept. So you've got these little structures that are built up and they've got staircases and they all go off at funny angles. And you're supposed to be able to join bits of the architecture together to make, for example, water flow along in a straight line. When you fit them together, obviously it shouldn't work physically, but it does in the way that that bit in Inception where they explain the staircase that goes round and round in circles.
Nothing about Inception works. But...
Yeah. You and your Inception bitterness. Yeah, it kind of connects round in circles in an impossible way. But Mark's gone hands-on with it, and apparently, like you say, Peter, it actually plays really quite well, and looks fascinating and interesting.
I liked Whale Trail till they free-to-played it. It was good when it first came out.
I never played it because it was another endless runner with a floating whale.
Oh, it was beautiful.
It was pretty, and this is pretty too. But I'm hoping that they've actually nailed the whole gameplay aspect of it this time.
But with the puzzles. Don't you think? What's it called?
Monument Valley.
Don't you think that sounds like it should be like an area in Alton Towers or something? It sounds.
Yeah.
Or a Sonic the Hedgehog zone or something.
I'll tell you why I'm quite excited, because it looks a fair amount like Echochrome.
It reminds you of Echochrome. Actually, Mark's drawn comparisons with Yearwalk and Sword and Sorcery in terms of like tone and atmosphere and things.
Oh, right, okay.
But yeah, you're right. It's also got a bit of Fez in it in terms of, you know, like manipulating the environment, that whole 2D, 3D plane shifting around. This is kind of uses the same 3D, 2D aspects, because on paper, if it was pressed flat, then yes, the water would travel between those locations. But if you're imagining it as a 3D object, then it doesn't work. It physically can't travel that way. So it's kind of messing with your perception, like those Escher paintings are supposed to do. But yeah, apparently it's really fun. It looks quite smart, quite clever, and I'm totally up for it. This is my kind of game. It looks a bit weird and twisty and odd. Speaking of weird and creepy as well, The Room. Was one of my favourites from earlier this year, I think. Late last year, earlier this year, forget which. Either way, it was awesome. I really liked it. And the sequel is coming out very soon. And Harry went hands-on with it and says it's dead good-like. He played through, I don't know, like sort of 15 minutes, half an hour, something like that. Bit of a prologue at the beginning. And the first thing he encountered, two boxes. If you're familiar with the first, I know. Blow double the boxes. Oh my god. If you've not played it, it's a box puzzler in which you kind of move your finger around the screen, you twist things, open stuff, press things, just like it's a whole twisty, tappy fest, and it's fantastic. You're interacting with these objects on the screen and trying to unlock them. This time, however, two boxes and possibly a whole lot more stuff. But apparently it's kept the same kind of creepy atmosphere, the sort of sweet visuals, the weird, slightly spooky aspect of it all, and added a bit more. I'm very excited for that. I hope it would be good. You played it and liked it, didn't you, Keith?
Yeah, I had to borrow it because it wouldn't run on an iPad 1.
Oh yeah.
I played it for because it was up for a BAFTA.
Yes.
And yeah, anything that like the Room is brilliant. It just actually almost as if I kind of wanted a bit more story. I think I remember saying on here at the time that it kind of takes the elements of a point and click, the puzzle solving bits, and strips out all the story. So it's just kind of endless puzzle solving, which sometimes I need like mentally a bit of a break. You get a bit of a brain rush playing The Room, especially if like some people I know they played it in one go. Those people would have locked up somewhere. But,
In two runs, but. I know what you mean. It's quite like dense in terms of constant puzzles.
Yeah, you kind of almost want them to. And I don't know whether that's what they're doing, but you almost want them to.
They expanded it. They added a kind of epilogue chapter, which I haven't actually played yet. I've been sort of saving, which is supposedly kind of is a bit more story based and bridges the gap between one and two. And I think because the first one did end kind of abruptly, it just sort of stopped, and we were like, oh. And I think it fleshes it out a bit more. So you may be in luck. There might be more story in the future. But you were actually there, Peter, hands-on, in the trenches, down there, down and dirty.
Yep.
So what did you see? Did you see anything noteworthy?
All sorts. Got to play Velocity 2X, which is the follow-up to Velocity Ultra, which is a follow-up to Velocity from Future Lab.
Okay.
And it's a Vita game in which you fly about derelict wrecks, in between derelict wrecks and like shoot at bad guys and that sort of thing, mm-hmm. and boost along and use a transporting beam to reach areas that you couldn't previously access effectively. And it's kind of all about high scores, well, fast times effectively. With 2X, they've added this platforming element.
Mm-hmm.
Which doesn't quite work as well at the moment as the flying, which just feels like incredible.
Right, okay.
So really good series.
Cool.
But yeah, the platforming just feels a little bit, yeah, not quite there yet.
Right.
Two other games that I got to play were in the indie section.
Okay.
Didn't get to play the Vita versions, but I got a nudge and a wink that one of them was coming to Vita, which was a game called Chroma.
Okay.
Basically, it's a puzzle platformer that deals with light and shade, and you're effectively like a ball of light, and you move around, and if you hide behind a box, let's say,
mm-hmm.
the light that emanates from you will go up to a certain point on that box, and then there'll be like a really hard black line, which is obviously just a shadow where the light isn't reaching in
yeah.
this cave that you're in. And then if you press a button... your sort of light side stays in position and your dark side can like move about freely around the level, and then you can walk on that shadow line.
It's one of these shadow platform puzzler things.
Yeah, so that's really good. And he sort of said, oh, I've been talking to PlayStation about maybe doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think he was kind of saying, we would love to do it if we could.
Right.
The other one was Assault Android Cactus, which is an absolutely...
What?
I know, firstly, brilliant name. Second of all, brilliant top-down dual-stick shooter.
Okay.
That's coming to PC first, I believe, and then going to Vita and PlayStation 4 in, I think, mid to late 2014. It's kind of a cross between a twin-stick shooter and a like a bullet hell shmup. And he says it's really inspired by a game called Death Smiles, which, if you listen to the podcast,
yes.
I'm a huge fan of. So yeah, a preview for Assault Android Cactus is on PG right now, and Chroma is a game that we will, I'm sure, cover when it's eventually announced.
Sure, sure. So good stuff for iOS and Vita. We've actually got a big old list, as it's the beginning of October, and considering the amount of releases that are coming out for the 3DS next month, and a bit on Vita too, we decided to draw up a list. Usually it can be quite quiet with big old spaces between noteworthy 3DS games.
Yeah.
But October's awesome. Like, really awesome.
Roughly
so,
amazing.
At a quick glance, we go down this list here. Etrian Odyssey Untold, : The Millennium Girl.
Mm-hmm.
Mark's not familiar with this one, myself neither, but it's a Japanese RPG remake of a six-year-old game called Etrian Odyssey. New cutscenes, new visuals, so if you're into the RPG scene, you might know that. That came out 2 days ago, October 1st. What else we got? Beyblade Evolution.
I've got a preview of that on the site.
Have you? Yep, so you can go read up on that. It's a kind of kiddie-friendly series. Is this an RPG thing as well, or is this flying?
No, this is a game where a company is trying to sell you spinning tops, and they've called them Beyblades.
Right.
They've decided to make a game out of it. And it's if you're into Beyblades, and if you're listening to this and you are into Beyblades, then either A, grow up, or B... You shouldn't listen to this, kid. Seriously, this is filth. There's some filth in these podcasts.
Yeah.
But your kids might like it. And if your kids are playing Beyblade, they'll probably like it.
Okay.
Because it's a pretty deep for a Beyblade experience.
Fair enough. We've also got Skylanders Swap Force, which is turning up October 13th in the US and 18th in Europe. Again, for the kids, the Skylanders franchise, which has got them figures, what you can port in and all that. This is the third game in the series and probably do really well. What else have we got? Phoenix Wright, Ace Attorney, Dual Destinies, Peter.
Air grab.
October the 24th. Good day, that.
Mm-hmm.
Birthday.
Very good day.
And that's the one that we've all been waiting for. The fifth game. Or seventh game. Whatever. It's the fifth game in the series. And we're all very excited, even though we think we might have possibly heard Phoenix's voice in that Nintendo announcement.
Yeah, it's weird.
Which is a bit weird. Does he sound like Tails?
He sounds a little bit like Tails. He doesn't sound right at all.
Yeah. Sonic Lost World, another Sonic game, but we're not really sure whether it's going to be any good or not. And, you know...
Do you know what?
Well, it's a 3D Sonic game, though.
Don't count your chickens until they've hatched, because this one's made by Dimps.
Okay.
and Dimps make really, really good games. They are the treasure of the early noughties, right?
I see.
Like, they make some very good games based on licenses, and I believe they made the Sonic Colors games, and the Sonic Colors games were actually legitimately very good games.
Yeah, they were right. They were right.
Oh, so, no, well, yeah.
Okay, no Sonic Rush. That's coming out. That's 18th of October in Europe and 29th in the US. You're going to have to hold your guns. Batman Arkham Origins Blackgate. The tie-in to go alongside the new Batman Arkham Origins. On the Vita, looks really quite cool. On the 3DS, less so.
They both don't look brilliant.
Oh, really? Oh, I thought I saw some stuff on the Vita. It looked all right.
I was looking over the shoulder of a friend who was playing at a Eurogamer Expo.
Ah.
And he's a very big Batman fan.
Okay.
And he finished playing and said, I don't think I'm going to get that one.
Oh.
Mm. Yeah, and that was the Vita version. I don't know about the 3DS version, but yeah, I'm not...
Okay. It takes kind of a 2D take on the whole thing, rather than, so it's a side-scrolly type number. Which I may or may not be very good. October the 25th, either way, you can decide for yourself. Lego Marvel Super Heroes is also coming. That's 18th in the US and 15th here in Europe, which, as you expect, is just Lego superhero things, only you've got your Hulk and your Iron Man and everybody else, blah, blah, blah. And then there's this little game that you may have heard of.
What's it called?
Oh, it's Pokemon?
Pokemon?
Pokemon
X and E.
Yes, Pokemon X and Y is coming on October 12th. Next Saturday, globally, it launches the same date every bloody where. It is finally the first 3D Pokemon in the series, and everyone's been going nuts about it for about the past year.
Indeed.
Everyone?
All right, indeed. Then. Everyone who isn't on this podcast, then. Well, and that's not true, actually, because Peter likes it.
We'll have a review of that by the time that you're listening to this.
Yes, it'll be up on Friday, on this very day. Mm. And we don't know what it's going to be like. I think, who's been on it? Mike has been on the case.
Mike Rose.
Has been reviewing.
Pokemaniac has been spending the last few days with it. Last week, actually.
Okay.
And yes, he will deliver his thoughts.
We'll put a link in the bottom of the story so you can come and see if it is all that cop. You're probably going to get it anyway. But the actual release date, next Saturday. That's kind of odd, isn't it? Saturday for a launch date for a game? Don't they usually come out Fridays and Thursdays and all that?
I don't know. Is this anything to do with the whole Dragon Quest thing? Where, like, in Japan, when they launch really, really, really big games, they tend to do it on the weekends?
Because really? I didn't know.
Because people happen with Dragon Quest, and it happens every time with Dragon Quest now, because people take time off work to go and play it, and they reckon that at one point, like, the Japanese economy was actually
crash because of Monster dips. Hunter or something.
No, like, I'm not even joking. Like, is it the Nikkei over there? I think it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think they did this graph where you could track slight dips in the Nikkei by Dragon Quest releases. It was really, and it would, like, it would come back the next day. But yeah, so they started just doing it on the weekends.
That's like when the papers measure how many people have been watching a football match by how many kettles were switched on afterwards. What the electricity bell did.
Well, yeah, okay then. Saturday for that, to stop people skiving off of work. So
yeah.
Look forward to that. Also, if you're a PS Vita guy, you will be getting Batman Arkham Origins Blackgate as well. That's going to be out on the 25th, as well as the Lego Marvel Super Heroes. That comes out too. You also get Worms Revolution Extreme.
That's
yet
good,
another
that.
Worms. Is it good? You played it?
Yes, 7 out of 10.
All right, fair enough. Another Worms game. That comes out October 8th or 9th. And something called Atomic Ninjas, which is some online multiplayer.
I've previewed that.
And?
It's alright.
Okay.
I think it could be surprisingly good. It's got potential.
Oh, that was a lot of speculation, wasn't it?
Well, it's annoying because most of these things are like, we've got access to them, we just can't talk about them.
No, it's all embargoed, it's all top secrets, but you'll definitely know more next week. However, there was a bunch of stuff that came out this very week that we can talk about, and we're going to do that right now. About this week, we have, first of all, Transport Tycoon. which, if you are an older gentleman, and I don't mean that in a disrespectful way, because I would probably be considered one of these older gentlemen, old enough to have, say, an Amiga or something like that. Transport Tycoon, you might remember, as a full-on isometric simulation game to do, unsurprisingly, with the transport industry. So, you had to build rail networks and bus networks and other networks that send people on journeys and that.
This sounds thoroughly dull, James.
I'll be honest, I wasn't a great big fan of it at the time, but then I wasn't a huge sim game person. I didn't do the Sim Cities or anything like that. I kind of understand their draw, but I never really took to it.
I've heard it's actually excellent.
Yes, it's well regarded and it's loved. So to the point where it's come out this week and everyone got very, very like excited and all nostalgic and swoony over it. From what I've heard from, I think Harry's been reviewing it, it's been taking up a good deal of his time because it is kind of full on. Like, you take one look at the screenshot, and just on this one screen, there's about 25 buttons all over it. It looks like...
Yeah, it's just the full game. It's not been scaled back.
No.
It's quite... I saw it develop, and it's quite impressive just to see it running, to be honest, not that it's, you know, graphically hardcore, but just amazing that you think that these kind of PC games that people would buy extra parts for in decades gone by now just run on this thing, you know, that's on your pocket or
your phone.
Mm.
Yeah.
Is this on iPhone, did you say?
It's iPhone and iPad, yeah. It's £4.99.
How is that going to work on an iPhone?
It did kind of work. It did from what I could see, yeah. It wasn't awful.
The buttons look small.
Mm.
And this screenshot is bigger than the phone, so I don't know. But apparently, I think Harry's just posted the review up.
Yes, he has. He gave it a very good score, yeah.
And he gave it a good score. So if you were a fan of it the first time round, there's no reason why you shouldn't really, really like this one. And if you're down with all those simulation games, then this is one of the classics. It's not an easy one to jump straight into. This is your first time. Maybe go to one of those later Sims games to get a grip. But you can get it right now, and apparently it's dead good for what it is. Gunner Z, which is by Bitmonster, which is the guys who were ex-Epic guys, weren't they? They worked on the Gears of War series.
Were they really?
Yeah. Bitmonster, they made Lily, that game about a girl who was exploring an island. And it looked very beautiful and
kind of... Oh, yes, yeah.
Wasn't a great deal of game there, but it was a very kind of beautiful little adventure. And it was kind of a stark contrast to their previously grimy work with the Gears of War series. They've decided that they've had enough of this fluffy, flowery nonsense, and it's time to gun down some zombies.
Oh, okay.
Basically, they've got back to it. So apparently you control a remote-controlled car that drives through city streets, and you take to the gun turret and you shoot the living bejesus out of zombies with a cherry picker. It's got a very fancy heads-up display. It's all in black and white and looks like security camera footage, but does get a bit samey because you are just mashing up zombies like 95% of the games out there at the moment. So,
Yeah.
Whatever. It's free to play, so you can download it right now if you fancy a go. Interestingly, I'll talk about it briefly because I'm going to talk about it in a great deal more detail later. The Cave by Double Fine has come to iOS. You can get it for iPhone and iPad right now. It's £2.99, $4.99. This is a translation of a PC puzzle point-and-click adventure that looks very pretty and got sort of mixed reviews when it came out relating to its content. I have issues with it.
Those
as well.
I'd say about time he's come to terms.
Yeah, this is the reason that we're at, you know, episode number 200 billion, whatever it is that we're at.
Although anyone who's listened to the past 50, they're not going to be surprised at this revelation. I don't think.
That's true.
I've inferred it throughout, so not to worry.
The first step is acceptance.
Yeah.
That's right. And then the second step is killing all your friends, right?
No.
Oh, I'm reading the wrong.
Yep.
My 12 steps are different to your 12 steps, clearly. Yeah.
I wouldn't. We're not really friends anyway.
Oh, that's true. So you probably escaped the...
What's mean?
But you get to live.
Just saved your life, Pete.
Acting different, you might survive. Anyway, I'll talk about it a little bit later, but yeah, it's out right now if you... however... Level 22 is a game I am quite excited about. I covered this last week for AppSpy, and it looks quite cool. It's this funny little quirky pixel art adventure, but not pixel art in full-on like 8-bit way, more of a 16-bit sort of way, where everyone has square heads and big glasses. You play as a guy who wakes up late for work, And what you have to do is then sneak into your office to try and like get to your little cubicle on the 22nd floor and make out like you've been there the whole time.
So what we kind of do anyway?
Yeah, so it's an every morning simulator, basically. But the way you're doing it is by stealthing your way through the 22 floors of this building. Mm-hmm. So you get to climb through ventilation shafts and put boxes on your head, sort of Metal Gear Solid style, or just walk up to your colleagues and nut them in the hope that they'll get concussion, presumably, and forget. I'm not sure. I've also seen a bit in the trailer where you poison one of your workers and he runs out and throws up.
It's might give people ideas.
I know, it is. It's like, oh, I'm taking notes.
Daily Mail will be all over this. They'll be,
you know. It can be a bit tricky to see what's going on when the camera's zoomed in, according to Mark. But it's funny, and apparently Mark really wants to play more of it, and I want to play more of it because I had a brief go, and it does. It looks like kind of good fun. It's £2.49 or $3.99 right now. Finally, Nakama from Crescent Moon Games is a very cutesy-looking 8-bit side-scroller in which you take control of some ninja kung fu-looking dude, and you just got really simple left and right controls, A, B attack buttons, proper, like, yeah, NES-style platform action. And it's pretty tough, but if you're up for those retro-looking platforming things, apparently it's quite good fun, if a bit tricky. 69p99 right now. Come sit upon my throne of games. It's that special time of the week, once again, when all the loyal subjects gather in the chamber. Wherein lies the throne of games? Something slightly different this week, though. Keith, I know you haven't necessarily been playing games.
Necessarily.
But you have been playing with games devices.
Plural.
Well, I don't know, have you? I assume you've had your hands on more than one. You get about, don't you?
Just pick up people's phones.
Random phones, stroke them, put them back down again. Lick them, possibly, because you do that, I hear.
Yeah, I've been loaned, for work purposes, a nice Lumia 1020, which is the phone that has the 41 megapixel camera in it.
Oh, my word. Now, for you iOS people and Android people who have never even heard of what a Lumia is, I don't want to offend Keith, because Keith is one of Lumia's biggest advocates. That's Nokia's Windows Phone. Yes, Windows Phone. We're talking about Windows phones on the Pocket Gamer podcast. I think this is possibly a first. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I'm sure I must have slipped it in before. I must have mentioned it.
Maybe, possibly. But so unremarkable was it that it just fell right out of my head. Mm-hmm. Only joking. Yes, you've been a big Lumia fan for ages. You've had an 800. You've had a 900 as well, haven't you, or something?
I've had an 800. I was loaned an 920. I have an 820. And now I have been loaned a 1020.
Oh, my.
Add it up. What do you get? I can't do the maths.
Some numbers. But this new one you've got.
It's like having a massive precious jewel in your pocket. It's it has a little lump on the back for the camera. But that's actually quite handy because you rest it down and it puts it at a very slight tilt. So if you then want to do anything on the screen, you know, it's almost like it's got a little kickstand on the back. It's kind of at the right angle. Yeah. It's quite good. But the camera is the reason people will buy it. And the camera is, yeah. I mean, I need to take it out and take it to some wondrous landscape or something and do some amazing pictures, because just taking pictures of my bathroom and stuff really isn't putting it to full use. But it doesn't get 41 megapixel shots, but what it does is so that this the first shot you take you can then zoom into like 3 or 4 times and you don't lose any quality because of 41, and then it saves it as whatever you want in like a normal fashion. But it has Lumia's night mode as well, which means you can pretty much go anywhere pitch black without your flash, take a picture, and it will show up everything.
You love that, don't you? Anyone who follows Keith on Twitter will realise.
It's absolutely amazing. I can't understand how it works. I don't understand the science, because you're looking through the viewfinder, and it's completely black, and you take the picture, and it still looks black, and then a second later, the final shot shows up, and suddenly everything that you can't even see with your eyes is there. And I don't know how they do it, but yeah, it's very much, anyone who had a 920 or had a play with 920, it's very much along the same lines, but just like a little bit swisher. It's like getting a BMW and then upgrading to the one with the slightly flashier buttons on it and stuff. It's just.
So when's it out?
It's out now.
Yeah, okay, so my contract runs out in a month, right? do I get a Lumia instead of another iPhone?
Well, I would. You know that much.
Sell it to me. I want to play games on this thing.
Oh, there's lots of games on it, yeah. And it's very quick, actually. I mean, I have an 820, which isn't as quick. So having them next to each other... I mean, they are getting better. I mean, it's got the new Angry Birds Star Wars 2. Had it on the same day, which you know, 6 months ago wouldn't have happened. It would have had to be a month later. They are getting better at it. And
you've got that Halo game.
It's got which is very good.
Halo. It's got Dodonpachi apparently as well.
Oh, really?
It has. Mm. I mean, you're not going to lose out massively, but it's really? More. I wouldn't say to anyone. Well, most people have iPads, don't they? I wouldn't say to anyone. Oh, if you want a games phone, this is the best games phone you can get. But I think it's the best phone you can get. And certainly the camera is leagues above anything else. As anyone who follows me on Instagram, hopefully
will know. Actually, Mike flagged something up today, which I'd actually noticed. He said, I can't believe no one's noticed this and tweeted this little picture. But I had actually noticed it. I've been playing Grand Theft Auto 5 a bunch over the past week. And as people know, you can access your own phones whilst playing it. The characters each have their own phone. If you look at the phones, you've got the three main characters you have at the beginning, which is Mike, which is the businessman guy. You've got Franklin, and you've also got Trevor, mentalist. The psycho. If you look at the phones that pop up, Michael's got, it's an iFruit within the game's universe, but yeah, he's got the iOS style phone. Franklin's got the Android style phone, and Trevor, the lunatic drooling psychopath, clearly has a Windows phone.
But he also has the most money.
Yeah, but it's all from crystal meth.
Yeah, but you know, if you're going to spend money on a nice phone, that's what you're going to go and get. You know,
money, isn't it?
Not cheap, this phone. You know, you're going to have to spend some cash on it.
Shift a lot of meth. Yeah. A lot of crystal
I'm looking at it now, and I want to touch it while I'm talking to you. I will have to play some games on it, actually, and see how it compares to the games I've played on the other ones. I don't know what's inside it. I know it's slightly quicker than the other ones. But, it's got all the fancy gubbins on it.
Fair enough.
Is, Nokia releases a new phone every... sodding weeks.
So they do. There are so many like iterations on this Lumia series, aren't they?
Yeah. We're running out of numbers already. It's like Peugeot. It's
Oh dear. Oh well. Well, yes, you stroke your phone. However, games need to be played, and I've been playing them, and I'm gonna jump on the throne and talk about The Cave, which when I saw pictures and images for it, I was like, oh, this looks like it could be very promising. Not least because of its heritage. Ron Gilbert's the guy behind this one, who is one of the co-creators of Monkey Island, one of the dudes who wrote it along with Tim Schafer. And it's been published by Tim Schafer's Double Fine Company. It looks fantastic. It's a point-and-click puzzle adventure thing with humor. So you take control of, I think it's like 8 maybe characters, 7 or 8, maybe 9, I don't know, a whole bunch of different characters you're presented with on a start screen, all of whom have different characteristics. You've got a kind of redneck hillbilly type, you've got a medieval knight, you've got a scientist woman with her glasses and the white lab coat, you've got a lassie from the future who floats around, protruding kind of blue circles, kind of wom wom wom, floating around in a hoverboard styly way. You've got this spooky pair of twins, which appear to be like dead. They're sort of Tim Burton-esque evil twin characters. And the whole framework of the game is there's this cave. This cave, which is alive and talks to you and offers a kind of narration over the course of the game. And it's like supposed to be a tourist attraction that has been shut down for whatever reason. So you control 3 characters at any one time. So you pick basically 3 characters and you guide them into the cave. And using their combined abilities, you have to unlock different areas, activate mechanisms, basically solve puzzles. So, for example, the knight has this ability. If you tap and hold the screen, he'll kind of produce these pair of angel wings that he'll start floating sort of slowly down the screen. So he can jump off high areas and you can press it halfway down and he'll just float and he won't die. The lassie from the future can kind of teleport. She can jump over obstacles and go womp womp and appear on the other side. And all of these can be used in tandem. All that sounds great to me. The synopsis is brilliant. And it looks really lovely. It's a very kind of nice, spooky environment. The characters are really nicely animated. They have all their own little tics and stuff. And the knight bops his head around really quickly, like twitches around like he's got some kind of nervous disorder. The twins kind of sit there with holding hands, looking really spooky. All that's brilliant. However, the controls are awful, really, really bad. I played this at Gamescom, a couple of months ago, and I was playing it away, going, "Is this isn't the finished thing, right? This is, you know, work in progress, because these controls are shonky." And I didn't really speak about it because I didn't want to give it a bad report before it actually, you know, come to market. And I've been playing it like all of today, and it's the same controls. They're awful. It's like, and I mentioned this in the Skype window earlier, it's like, you know, when someone asks you, "Do you want tea or coffee?" and you're not really listening, and you go, yeah. And and that's like, "No, I'm asking, which, do you want tea or do you want coffee?" Like, "Oh, sorry, yeah, coffee." It's like someone went to Ron Gilbert and or whoever did the port for the whole thing was like, do you want like floating controls where you drag your finger? Or shall we do like point and tap controls? Or shall we do like floating joystick controls?" And he was like, yeah. And they took that to mean, all right, all of them, none of them. It's like nothing. It's bizarre. You put your finger on the screen and hold it and move left and right, and that will cause your character to move left and right. Or you can just touch an area on the screen and the character will run to it. Or you can do gesture commands to jump. So if you swipe up in a corner, then the characters will jump and cling onto a bit of rock or something. But the moment you put your finger on the screen, the game has no idea whether you wanted to go that way, whether you're about to start a swipe maneuver, whether you're about to do a gesture. And inevitably, you just spend the entire game walking off of the edge of ledges. Because you're like trying to guide yourself to the edge of a ledge, so you swipe to move him there, and it takes that to be a point to the middle of the spiky pit, and your bloke immediately leaps off and dies, so you go nuts. So you walk in very tentatively up to the edge, and then you do a swipe gesture to go kind of jump, and it misreads the jump, and you walk off into the spiky pit of death and die again. It's so frustrating, and it really surprises me that no one did anything about this. Like, no one flagged this up and said, "Look, we've got to sort this out," because it ruins the whole thing. If it was just the controls, you know, that would be bad enough. However, the puzzles are a bit weird and obtuse. And I know point-and-click adventures have
I was going to say.
Yeah. They have their own special point-and-click adventure logic in which nothing makes sense, because you're supposed to know that you need to grab that squirrel tail and then you nail it to a dartboard and you whip the dartboard into a vortex and that activates a lever that's over the other side of the screen, which descends a large elephant from the top, which falls onto a plank, which then splinters into a million pieces, and that somehow activates a door to open.
I want to play that game. That sounds good.
Now I say it, that does sound good. But you understand what I'm saying. It's got this own weird kind of, like, you have to be right inside the developer's head to kind of see the logic of the puzzles he's creating. And it's a bit like that. They're not particularly intuitive. But what makes it worse is, because you're controlling these three characters, you're constantly jumping between them, there is a lot of backtracking. There is a lot of send one character all the way through the maze to get this item, and then send them all the way back again so they can stand on a thing, and then send someone else all the way back the way you came so that they can grab something different and fulfill their role. And then everybody heads back again to the beginning, and it's like, ugh, bit of a drag. So it's really disappointing, because the idea is great and it looks wonderful. And I imagine it controls much better on PC, but I can't recommend it. It's been frustrating as hell playing it today, and it's just not fun. It's more annoying than anything else, and the backtracking is a pain. It's just a shame, because it looks like there was a lot of potential there. So the cave, don't go into the cave, I would say. It's a bit rubbish. Which leaves us with Peter, the birthday boy himself.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're stuffed. Come on, sound a bit more enthused.
Oh, I can't wait to
die.
Continue dying.
Yeah. Excellent, good.
Do you know I've done a Keith?
What, you've gone all miserable?
Yeah, I've gone all miserable. And I've played,
that's a very tame suggestion you came up with there. You could have gone for far worse.
Yeah. That's true. And I've barely played anything for funsies this week.
For fun?
For fun, yeah. I
games.
You know, I know, right? So I'm continuing to plug away at hot new Nintendo DS release, Dragon Quest IX. That was out about, 6 years ago. still
but
good.
You have a special warm feelings in your groin for Dragon Quest, don't you?
Yeah, I love Dragon Quest, and I'm really enjoying it so far. I'm kind of approaching it in a very bitty kind of a way, when I just want to kind of listen to some podcasts and grind, basically. But the game I've kind of been playing for review, one of them, I should say, is Cat on a Diet. And
sorry, what? Cat on a diet?
Cat on a diet. I kept wanting to call it Cat on a Hot Tin Roof.
Yeah. It sounds like Garfield to me.
It does, doesn't it?
He's had too much lasagna, and now he needs to go on a diet.
So it's made by Chillingo, and I kind of thought, you could have splashed out the Garfield license here, but they didn't. And he could have been going for lasagna, but he doesn't. He's going for cookies, apparently. That's what he wants.
Okay.
First of all, you should know that he's called Dr. Meow.
Does he have a certificate to back this?
This is the thing. I don't know what he's got his doctorate in. I don't know what he's got a PhD in.
Meowing, presumably.
One would hope so. I imagine it's physics, because this is a physics puzzler. It's a bit of a sort of cross between, I guess it's got a bit of cut the rope to it. So the first thing that you do is you can slash into wood, right? These wooden structures that you're sat upon. You can't directly control the cat.
Okay.
You slash into the wood, and then, you know, he's sat on a flat surface, and then you can cut like a diagonal line in it, and suddenly he's rolling down that surface, right?
Okay.
And you can also slash away at the same bit of wood and destroy it completely, and that might take out a lower block on a larger wooden structure, much like in Angry Birds, right?
Oh, yes.
So then the whole thing collapses, and he might be on the top of it, and he falls down, and he falls into the jar of cookies. The whole idea is to get to this jar of cookies, and you can collect muffins along the way because he's a real porker.
My word.
I know, right? But yeah, and then the game just adds lots and lots of elements to it. So you can, by the end of it, you're sort of flipping gravity and busting into uranium and avoiding lasers and all this sort of stuff. And it's, you know, it layers on top of it. It's really good in that way. I guess the reason I wanted to bring it up is, you know, there's a lot of physics puzzles on the store. And as we've discussed before, I think the thing that you really have to do with these kind of games is give yourself
bless you.
Yeah, I think the thing that you have to do with all of these sorts of games, if you really want to make a physics puzzler stand out from the crowd, is to give it a personality. Mm. And this one certainly has that. And that's, you know, this is, if it catches fire, you know, I think this has got some real potential for Chillingo to start, like, a decent series out. This is a shame it's got such a naff name.
Cat on a Diet is a bit...
It's not good.
Weird, isn't it?
But yeah, it's got a lot of potential. The game itself is really enjoyable to play. There's a nice little bit of chaos to it. You know, you're not never quite sure how everything's going to turn out when you pull that block out. But yeah, he's certainly a little charming character. He's very squidgy, very podgy little ball of fat, basically. And he kind of rolls about the level and you direct him around. It's really, yeah.
Is this Porky Cat who is on a diet, right? So he's Cat on a diet. So why are you giving him cookies?
I don't know. I kind of said in the review, you know, you help him to get to the thing, but really you're enabling him, right?
Exactly. Right.
He's on a bad diet.
He's on a terrible diet. Yeah, I suppose it's not specific as to whether or not that diet is good. Did you know, I found this out. I'm done with talking about the game now. Did you know that it's very good. Go and get it if you like physics puzzles. Did you know, I found out recently through research, that cats will eat and eat and eat, like a lot of animals. They just won't stop eating. If there's an abundance of food, they'll eat until they throw up.
To a gorging point, yes.
How brilliant must that be for a cat when they, like, come across, like, I don't know, a big bit of lamb that's already been cooked for them or something. I don't know how that would happen, but, like...
Particularly epicure restaurants that your cats visit.
Yeah, like, they wander into, like, a French restaurant, for example, and, like, all the cooks are busy.
The cat on the menu.
But it will continue eating until it throws up. How crazy is that?
I know some people like that.
Who do you know?
I won't name names, because I'm about to make a game about them called XXXX is on a diet.
Yeah, you're gonna have real trouble with XXXXXX getting through that Apple.
Triple store. X is on a diet.
Yeah, triple X is on a diet.
There were more X's. I was very careful not to make it three X's, because again, that's a different
game. That's another thing as well.
And quite a good film.
Yeah, well, exactly. Is it Vin Diesel triple X is on a diet?
Well, have you seen Riddick?
No.
Yeah, he's not a slimline as once he was. But I've got to ask, this whole like cat on a diet thing, I don't know, is this a bit fattest? This sounds a bit fattest to me. If you call a game so-and-so is on a diet, the insinuation is that he or she should be the inference. And then if you then decide to feed him cookies instead, Is that not undercutting his ultimate goal of?
I mean, ultimately, if let's bring it to a serious point now. You know,
why
pet obesity is a real issue.
Okay,
like, it is an actual thing. And
feline corpulence.
Feline corpulence is a real thing. And maybe this. Do you know what? I don't like the game anymore. I'm going to get out my review poll. I don't want to give it the award that I gave it because I'm furious. Oh, Peter's furious.
Turns you right around. It's going to be a very cross birthday celebration for you. Are you going to go and have it large tonight, Peter?
I'm going to go and have a lovely Asian meal.
Is that slang?
Yeah, that's right. And I'm gonna open some presents. Oh. Do you want to know what I got?
I don't know. How do you know if you haven't opened presents?
I've opened one of my presents.
All right, what did you get, Peter?
I'm gonna give him a shout out. My friend Dan Frost. He bought me a giant book of sorbet recipes because I've wanted to learn how to make sorbets for ages now. So he's finally bought me a book, and I'm gonna go and learn how to make it's called. There's one in it that I'm like, oh, this looks good. It's called Elderflower Sorbet, and it looks well nice.
You're gonna have a major headache in the morning.
Isn't sorbet just ice cream for losers, though?
It's ice cream for people on a diet, funny enough, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
It's on a diet.
The cat would be, and there we are. There's the full circle.
There it is. And you've been listening to the Pocket Gamer podcast, where we always come full circle. Thanks again for listening. Join us next week. There'll be more chitter and some chatter, I suspect, as well. And Keith will exhale loudly into a microphone,
full circle,
as he is known to do. Thanks for listening, guys. Take it easy. See you next week. Bye.
Bye. Keith.
We always come full circle.
Oi.